Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast Super Bowl Edition. I'm Hakun Wong, Editor-in-Chief of Football Garbage Time. With me, as usual, is Senior Staff Writer Ryan Whitfield. So, Ryan, tell me, how you doing? You getting ready for the Super Bowl, even though Pats aren't in it? Still getting excited?
You know, I would I'd say that this is probably the most I've been involved with getting ready for Super Bowl in a long time that doesn't have the Pats in it because of what we do on the site. But you know, I'm usually a pretty big sports sport. It's usually the season's usually over after the Pats are done. So
right,
hanging in there this year.
Well, you know, thankfully I don't do that because I'm a Bears fan and the season would end early every freaking year, so that would really suck for me. I can understand being a Pats fan how you can make that exception. You guys are in the playoffs more often than not. So before we get started today, let me go ahead and give a shout-out again to Wally and Ray at Urban Sports Scene. Again, if you don't know this, we've been heads-up against them all season long. It comes right down to this. The last pick of the season will break the tie, and that's going to be for the Super Bowl. Most likely we'll have the same pick. We'll see what happens. But if you get a chance to check them out at Urban Sports Scene down at the DMV, please do waleo.podbean.com. That's waleo.podbean.com. They're great. They're going to be casting tonight as well. So let's move on to the topics at hand. But before we get to the Super Bowl, there's been a couple things here and a couple quick hits along the way that's been going on in the NFL. I don't want to get your thoughts on this, Ryan. So let's talk about teams moving, because there's been a lot of that happening recently. And as we all know, about a month ago, in the battle for L.A., the Rams ended up winning, and they're going to be going there to Inglewood, building a new stadium. Looked like the Chargers were going to go with them, and we're going to get to them in a minute. But the Raiders definitely lost out, right? The Raiders were going to be stuck in Oakland unless the Chargers decide not to move. And we all know that the Raiders want to move out of Oakland because the Coliseum is one of the worst venues in sports. In fact, it's so bad that even when it was noted that the Raiders might leave at some point, the A's owner, Lou Wolf, actually issued a statement that said, "We don't want it either. We don't want the Coliseum. We want our own stadium. Even if we get it all to ourselves, we don't want it." So it's clear that stadium is a piece of crap. They want to get out of there. And now new rumors surface that Vegas bigwig Sheldon Adelson, the CEO of Sands Casino, is ready to give $1 billion to build a new dome stadium in Las Vegas. And last week, the Raiders went out to go talk about it and discuss it. And then just this past weekend, the NFL releases a memo to all the owners that said there is no prohibition under league rules on any team moving to any particular city. So what do you think, Ryan? What do you think about that? Raiders to Las Vegas, or about NFL teams in general going to Las Vegas? What do you think? Is that going to happen? Do you think it's a good thing, a bad thing? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a great thing. And not to get all political here for a second, but I am a business person, and I am a firm believer in the free enterprise system of America. Mm-hmm. So you go where the money is. And if, you know, that whole sentiment we heard recently in St. Louis about the people losing their jobs and the employees, and that it's not their fault, that they don't deserve this. And, you know, to some degree, they're right. But let me see how many of them were voting on whether or not to pay tax, to have taxes raised, so that they could fund a better stadium. I'm a little bit lucky here. Gillette Stadium is not the most amazing stadium. It's a little outdated at this point, but it was obviously Robert Kraft paid for that privately. It was not a publicly funded stadium. So while I don't have firsthand experience in it, I know that if it came to that or losing my team, you can absolutely take more of my taxes. And then as far as just – so I'm up for trying anything, and I love the Rams going back to L.A. Oakland and Vegas – if they can come back and be the bad boys they used to be and be the Las Vegas Raiders, that would just be so awesome. Just, you know, a team in the desert out there, I think it'd be good for football. I think it's a place that could sustain a team. But in general, I mean, my overall philosophy is, you know, I'm not opposed to a team in London like everybody else.
Right.
You know, you go to the markets that deserve it, and the people that are half-filling their stadiums or have those godforsaken you know, cheer prompts on their telescreens, like the Rams did. There was a video came out a couple years ago from the Rams about a pump-up video teaching Rams fans how to cheer. and at what point in the game they should steer. And if that's your level of knowledge in the game, then it's not a right to have a team. It's a privilege. So,
well, at least it's not the Falcons who are piping in crowd noise. I mean, that was that's even worse. It's like we don't even trust our fans to follow the video. We got to fake it. So
yeah, well, so went the Colts all throughout the 2000s when Manning was there, but people don't like to talk about that. The RCA is pump crowd noise.
Well, so I agree with you. I think Vegas would be a great spot for them. I know, so the issue obviously is that the NFL has always been hesitant to associate itself with gambling, and quite frankly, there is no prohibition of going to Vegas, but you got to get at least 24 votes from 24 owners to agree to it. You know, I'm sure that some of them will take some sort of, you know, quote unquote moral stand against going to a city like Vegas, but honestly, it's probably a money thing, too. You know, I mean, getting in on that market is such a huge market. I mean, other owners might be thinking, well, heck, I want that for myself. I'm not going to put somebody else in there. I think what the NFL is missing here is that you could, if you want to gamble on the game, you're going to gamble on the game. You don't have to go to Vegas for that. And I don't see how that would change anything for a team being in Vegas. You know, I just don't see how that makes it any more or less likely that someone would bet on the team. Not that there's any problem with that. If you go to London, you can actually bet on teams right in the stadium. You know, it's actually part of the game. So I think it's a little bit strange that there's some resistance to that. But I agree with you. I think it would be a good thing if they go out there. It'd be surprising, but it would be a good thing. The other thing that we all want to turn to is the Chargers. So they have a very peculiar situation because they have an agreement already with the Rams to join in on the stadium in Inglewood in Los Angeles. But they've decided, lo and behold, as of January 29th, to stay in San Diego for the 2016 season. Now, if they stay in San Diego, you know, ultimately they can get up to $300 million from the NFL to build a new stadium, but they want some public money from San Diego, and they've had problems with that, and Qualcomm is not the best of all stadiums. So tell me, what do you think? San Diego Chargers, do they stay in San Diego, or do you think they're just going to go to L.A., and what do you think, what would you prefer?
It's hard to say. I lived in SoCal for a brief point in my life. It's just not a great sports area. I think the L.A. thing is cool. But whether they're in San Diego or L.A., I just think that team is always going to be a hard draw. You're always going to see, you know, away teams getting a lot of reaction. So, you know, if they're looking to cash in, I think their best bet's to go join up with L.A. Because they are going to build, you know, an NFL studios right outside of it. They're going to have, you know, the amusement parks and the shopping and the housing. Like, a lot of these sports complexes have become now, particularly in the NFL. So getting a stadium down there, I think that, you know, you probably have a little bit better of a chance with the L.A. backing. So I think right now this is kind of, for lack of a better word, a temper tantrum on their part. You know, they're frustrated they didn't get it. So now they're, you know, they're kind of trying to, I don't know, make their stance here, but I think at the end of it all, they'll end up in LA.
Oh yeah, so you think this one year stay in San Diego is just basically they're just going to go on? They're just delaying the inevitable. They're going to end up in Los Angeles eventually.
I think it's better for them, and I don't think at the end of the day that the public in San Diego cares enough to give money. It's why these, and for again a lack of a better term, why these warm weather cities. Sports fans suck because in December when their team loses, they say, oh crap, grab their surfboard and walk out on the beach outside their house. Whereas in New England, you know, when the Pats lost last week, I got to trudge through the snow the next 2 weeks and be mad about the game. So, you know, it's just that's why the Northeast and the Midwest have better sports fans. So I don't see because we
have nothing else better going on in the winter, right? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
We're in bad shape if we don't have football.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, okay. Well, I can definitely agree with that to a certain. I have a good friend who's a San Diego Chargers fan, you know, he has obviously his certain different feelings about it. But I think by and large, you don't get as many diehard NFL fans in some of those places. Definitely not in San Diego. And it's funny, seeing as how they have such a long history there in San Diego. I mean, that's 55 years. You'd think they'd want to preserve that if at all possible. But, you know, they got to go where the money is. And if they have a good opportunity to break into the L.A. market, you know, then they will break into the L.A. market. What it reminds me of in some ways is if you remember the New Jersey Nets kind of moving over to Brooklyn, becoming the Brooklyn Nets, the fans that were New Jersey fans were actually pretty diehard. They did not really go over with the team, but that team is making a lot more money now in Brooklyn, and it's because there's a lot of people that are going to the game that wouldn't even care about basketball. I think that you'll get a lot of that in L.A. too. People think, yeah, it's cool to go to a game. I'm going to be there. It's a place to be seen. It's not necessarily I'm an NFL fan. So if they want to go for the money, L.A. is probably their best bet. So that leads me to the Super Bowl, our main topic of the day. And let me ask you, Ryan, did you get a chance to, or did you even want to see Super Bowl opening night, the renamed Super Bowl Media Day that was changed to Monday night, that's last night at 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network?
Yeah, you know, I watched bits and pieces. I won't pretend that I sat down and was glued to every last second of it. You know, it's typical of any media day, even when it is your team in it, which I've had a lot. There's a couple people you want to see talk. I could listen to Aqib Talib talk all day. I wanted to hear Josh Norman. I wanted to hear Cam Newton, and I wanted to see Peyton Manning. And if you know the coddled superstar, if they'd actually ask him about the HGH allegation. So
yeah,
those are kind of the highlights that I paid attention to. But again, you know, I certainly didn't sit there and watch, you know, the whole production.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting. They've definitely made it more of a production than it used to be. I mean, now they have the big introduction on the grand stage, so to speak. A mock-up of the Golden State Bridge and the big, huge video screen kind of introducing the main players before they go to the podium. I mean, it used to be that they just announced they're coming and then they're on the podiums, and that was basically it. So what do you think? I mean, do you think that was good for it, that was bad for it? I mean, it was interesting to me. I think they kind of make it more of a prime-time event and less of, you know, a media day.
Yeah, no, I agree. I did enjoy the production value upgrade on it. You know, I would still prefer it, you know, be right down in the field. I like those better a little bit. You know, I know there was it was like an hour drive for most people to that yesterday, but you know, overall I thought the production was pretty cool. I think they'll improve it as it goes. You know, maybe at some point they'll rip away Deion Sanders' all access pass because he kind of just pushes everybody else out of the way. It really is turned into media night presented by Deion Sanders. Somehow.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But I did love the give and take between Josh Norman and Deion Sanders. It was pretty clear that Deion thought it was a bigger deal, or one of the two of them thought it was a bigger deal than the other, because Josh Norman kind of had that discussion with him, and at one point he was like, what do you think that exists between us right now? And he had to bring up the fact that he had supported OBJ and that big Josh Norman OBJ argument and all this other stuff, and then it became interesting. But definitely Deion Sanders really kind of pushing his own agenda through the entire program. My favorite part, though, talking about all-access passes, is the fact that Gary Kubiak's pass actually said no stadium access on it, which is fantastic. So I don't know what he did to piss people off, but he's going to have a hard time coaching the team without having stadium access on Sunday. So let's go ahead and get into the game, shall we? It's the Carolina Panthers versus the Denver Broncos this Sunday, February 7th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Tell me, what do you think? Keys for the Broncos, keys for the Panthers, and then we'll get down to our predictions. Tell me what your thoughts in the game are.
Yeah, so I would say the key for the Panthers is another quick start. I think that they've really established themselves quick in the last two games, and you know, I think we know at this point, even against average to bad defenses, actually against bad defenses, I'm tired of sugarcoating it. I said a lot of nice stuff about Manning last week. But I'll be honest, you know, Peyton Manning had one of I think he was 30th in QBR this season. I mean, he's not a good quarterback anymore. So if they get in one of these situations where they're up 14-0, 21-3, you know, something quick like that early, they know Peyton can't catch them. So and then their defense can play lockdown from there. So I would say that would be my biggest key for Carolina. It's a good quick start and to really just play their game and you know, I think they're not going to have any problem coming out confident because they're a pretty confident bunch. But, you know, they want to definitely come out and play loose and don't let the pressure get to them. With that said, I think that there is something to also be said for experience. And I think that's one of the keys for the Broncos is as bad as that Super Bowl was 2 years ago or as fantastic, depending on what part of the country you live in. You know, you got to call on that, on those memories, like, you know, use that experience to your advantage here. You want to, again, come out and know that you can't play mistakes. You know, you can't snap the first snap of the game over your quarterback's head. So, you know, whether that's a little bit of an advantage from the nerves perspective where they can, you know, not be nervous and come out. And then Peyton Manning's going to play a mistake-free game. He doesn't have to play a good game, but if they play a game where he puts up, you know, 20 points in that range and they play good defense and he doesn't turn the ball over or give the ball back to Carolina with a short field, I think that's going to be really big for them. And then to try to get back their running game that they lost against the Patriots a couple weeks ago, because they had started to run the ball and they couldn't, they really weren't able to effectively run it against the Pats. So, you know, I think that would be, those are probably my biggest keys for both sides.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so it's interesting to me, I think, that you mentioned the fast start of the Carolina Panthers, because I agree with that. But I actually think the key is basically on the Denver side of the ball when Carolina gets the ball in the first two quarters and how much pressure that front four of the Broncos defense can put on Cam Newton. I think ultimately Carolina is too good of an offense to be kept out of the end zone the entire game. But if they get off to that quick start, as you say, early on, it's going to be impossible for the Broncos to catch up because they're just not built that way. They're not built in the way they can actually score tons and bunches of points in short periods of time. So I really think that the big deal here will be the front four, how much pressure they can put on Cam Newton, and then even more importantly, how healthy T.J. Ward is and Darian Stewart, the safeties of that Broncos defense. Because, you know, frankly, what's going to end up happening is that Cam will make you pay if you send more than four. He will find the soft spots in your defense, and he will pick you apart short, long, otherwise he'll take off running. You know, if you don't have good safeties that can spy and can play zone, can cover those gaps, can make sure that people don't manage to ditch their cornerbacks and find some open space down the field, he's going to destroy them. And if T.J. Ward is not healthy and Darian Stewart is not healthy, I think there's going to be some problems because they've actually been playing both very well, Ward better than Stewart, but both of them right now are questionable with an ankle and a knee injury apiece. And Ward in particular, you know, it's a very short time frame from when he got injured and when he actually will be playing this week. Now, there doesn't seem to be any issue with Ward actually playing this week, but I think that will be a major, major issue. If they're not 100% there, he's going to pick him apart. I think more in another angle of that same issue is whether DeMarcus Ware will continue to play at a high level like he did in the AFC Conference Championship game. I think if he can get in there and really put pressure on Cam, contain him, make sure he doesn't get to the edges and runs with the ball, along with Von Miller on the other side, then there will be some chance for the Broncos to really gain some control here of the game, because they're really going to have to play the field position / clock killing game in order to win this, because they just don't have an offense that is going to be able to score bunches like they were 2 years ago. And I want to key on something else you said, you know, calling back to the experience part. You know, when Demaryius Thomas was interviewed last night at Super Bowl opening night, one of the first things he said was, we came out, we had these high expectations, and we completely failed. You know, we in a word, we sucked. We sucked that night. And it's no worse feeling than to know that you just did not perform on the biggest stage in NFL football. And I think he's taken that to heart, and he understands how important that is now. And in that game, he was, you know, personally lights out, you know, over 100 yards and a touchdown. I think that he might not see that this time around, but he's not going to demand it this time around. He's a smarter player for it. He's a better player for it. And I think that the Broncos understand that Peyton Manning is not Peyton Manning anymore. So let me ask you about the ground game in particular, because this is something I think that has been trending up, but is a little bit, you know, kind of hit or miss for the Broncos. How do you feel about Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson? Do you think they're going to have any impact on this game?
Well, you know, I haven't seen the latest update, so I think it depends on Thomas Davis and if how healthy he is, if he can go. I know, last I saw, he's still determined to play, but coming off surgery, you know,
right.
You just don't know. But you know, I think predicting either one of them is so hard, because they both have talent, but they just either have it on a given day or they don't, and it's like, and you know, coming from a fantasy football's perspective, you know, there's times where you try to spot the matchup with the two of them, and it doesn't matter. Teams they shouldn't run against, they can run against, and teams that they're supposed to run against, they don't run against, and there just seems to be no rhyme or reason for why they're on and why they're off on those days. So, you know, I think that's a big wild card / X factor in this game, just what they're going to be able to actually, you know, give you.
Right. No, absolutely. Thomas Davis, definitely a big part of that. He has a breakout year this year, 5.5 sacks and 4 interceptions. Broke his right arm during the conference championship in a ridiculous play in which which somebody launches himself into his right arm for no good reason. But either way, surgery, and he vows, at least as of yesterday during opening night, vows that he will be able to play. How effective he will be, we'll see. We do know he has been in practice with a light brace on his arm, and it appears that he's going to be okay but hasn't taken full contact. We'll know more as the week continues. So tell me about the other side now. We're talking about the Panthers. How important is Jonathan Stewart? You know, he's coming off an ankle injury, which has been perpetually getting tweaked, but he says he's also going to play, and there's no indication that he won't. He's been very, very good so far. He's been very strong against the Seahawks, top-ranked rush defense, 106 yards and 2 TDs. He actually scored 2 TDs against them in Seattle earlier in the regular season, and then he had another strong effort against the Cardinals, 88 total yards. How important is Jonathan Stewart to the Carolina Panthers' chances of winning the Super Bowl?
I think he's pretty important. I still think the most important part of their team and their run game is going to be Cam. But the duo of them, what they've been able to do this year, is from a schematic standpoint, is pretty incredible. You know, obviously I don't have access to the All 22, so I don't watch them, but Albert Breer was on a local Boston sports station yesterday from NFL, the NFL Network, and he was saying that the Carolina Panthers had the most exotic run schemes this year, plus the most variety. So they're, you know, he didn't give an exact, you know, a number amount, but they have more differentiating run plays than any other team in the league. And that's what makes them so deadly and dangerous, is the fact that, you know, it's hard to scheme for them because they just have such a plethora of different plays to go to. So I think he will get his, and I think he will have a good game. And, you know, him and Cam can take the hits, which is good because, you know, for the most part, I think of Denver's defense as fast, not so much as tough, and doesn't mean that there aren't a couple big hitters out there. Obviously, Ward comes to mind, but they're more of a fast, you know, athletic defense, and I think that they can be run on. So,
So let me ask you about Cam Newton's receiving corps, because that's one of the biggest surprises, I think, of the year as far as the offense is concerned in Carolina. You know, after Kelvin Benjamin went down in the preseason, I think it's safe to say that all of us thought that the Carolina Panthers are going to be a problem, and I felt it right off the bat, since, as you know, I drafted in our in an initial mock draft Kelvin Benjamin, and that obviously didn't work out very well for me. So with Ted Ginn there, you know, it's kind of a known quantity. He's fast, bad hands. But now we're starting to see the emergence of Corey Brown, who's actually been leading in targets. Although last game being very impactful, he wasn't that impactful in the divisional round, only two receptions for 22 yards. But then he showed his speed with his huge 86-yard touchdown on a curl route deep, and he was really magnificent. 4 of 7 for 113 yards and a touchdown. So what do you think? Is this something that is going to build here? Is Corey Brown for real? Or is he just kind of getting lucky right now because of the fact that he has some speed on his side?
Yeah. I don't know if I could say he's for real yet, but I think he has some skills, and I think he's working well. I mean, the fact of the matter is what they're doing on this offense schematically, what they're doing with Cam and the offense that they're running, and they're incorporating a lot of college type plays in it. It's hard to evaluate guys because Ted Ginn Jr. has looked like a good receiver this year. Jericho Cotchery has had a resurgence this year. So, I think that teams have to key on the run, and they have to key on the option. They have to key on Greg Olsen. It's allowing these guys to get deep and make plays, and they're making plays. So, as we talked last week, I think Funchess has come on strong, and I think Corey Brown has too. So,
yep.
There's only so long you can say that the receiving corps isn't good enough, but it has been.
Well, they're in the Super Bowl, so.
You just got to kind of have to, stop doubting the guys, because they're doing it by putting up points. So it's not, it's not like the Doug Baldwin disrespected receiving corps last year from the Seahawks when they were scoring 20 points a game. This is a team that has put up points here, so.
Oh. All right, quick hits real quick. Tell me, Von Miller, how many sacks do you think he has on Sunday?
I'm going to go back to the law of averages that he disappears in big games, and he's going to go against a guy who can get out of the pocket, so I'm going to go with 0.
Wow, okay. And Aqib Talib, how many interceptions do you think he's going to have?
I'll give him 1.
1, okay. Well, that's pretty good. And Cam Newton, plus you think he's going to be over or under 50 yards rushing? And what do you think on touchdowns? 2.5, you're going to take the over or under on 2.5? Total
for
touchdowns.
Cam?
For Cam.
Yeah, I'm taking over on that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fair to say he's going to get at least 3. Okay, so we'll come down to the end here. Give us your prediction. Carolina Panthers, Denver Broncos, who wins this game, and what do you think the score will be?
I got Carolina, and I got them winning probably – I'm going to go 31-21. I know a 10-point spread's big, but I don't think that the Broncos can score enough, and I don't think that they play smart football. And I think Carolina's been the most dominant team this year, and they're gonna continue to be.
Yeah, it's as much as I would like to see the Denver Broncos win, just because of Peyton Manning and his story. I think I have to agree. Carolina Panthers, I think, will win this. They are 5.5-point favorites. I think they're going to win by actually a little less than that. I'm predicting 24-20 over the Denver Broncos. I think they'll be able to keep it close, but ultimately they won't be able to put up enough points to keep up with the Carolina Panthers. They'll just end up controlling the game until the end. I do think that this will come down to the third, fourth quarter, though. I don't think this will be decided in the first half. All right. Any last thoughts about the Super Bowl before we wrap up and get ready for the big game?
Yeah, just the one last thing I got to say this week after all of it last week, just to contribute to the dumb mentality I said of the Broncos. The whole disrespecting, you were the number one seed, and the Patriots not kicking the ball to start the game shows that they were desperate to get points on you early, which was not a confidence thing, Derek Wolfe. It was they got out of their game because you were in their head. So stop playing the disrespect card. Nobody's buying it.
All right. Okay, so we've come down to the end of the podcast. We'll wrap up about the Super Bowl in our next podcast, but for the time being, give us your Twitter account so people can follow you, Ryan.
Yep, at Ryan Whitfield, N-E.
All right, and you can follow us at FB Garbage Time. Follow us all throughout the week as we continue to give you more content about the Super Bowl and more coverage concerning all the things that lead up to it, including injuries and developments. So until next time, enjoy Super Bowl 50. We will see you next week.